Please turn your Bibles with me to James chapter 3. And I'm going to read a little story real quick. It's about a fire. It says, "Today we can imagine the smoke," and this is describing a fire that happened a long time ago, "but today we can imagine the smoke thick and suffocating. We can fathom the flames causing mountains and towns to glow red at midnight. We can even imagine the heat, enough to peel paint off boxcars. Yet there's one thing the survivors said was impossible for anyone to imagine. The roar. A forest the size of Connecticut was exploding in a fearsome whoosh, generating with fire and oxygen its own tornadoes and cyclones. One survivor called it the sound of 1,000 trains rushing over 1,000 steel trestles. Another said it could be compared only to the sound of Niagara Falls. The noise was a deafening combination of 60-mile-an-hour gusts, colossal fire-driven updrafts, and a clamor of hundreds of trees snapping, cracking, and slamming against the earth. Some call it the big blow-up. Some call it the big burn. By any name, it was easily the biggest forest fire in the inland Northwest's history, and actually the biggest forest fire in the U.S. history." This was in 1910. And actually, it went across Washington, Idaho, and Montana. And 85 people died. 85 people lost their lives. And many towns were destroyed, and many people lost many crops. But it was very interesting. I started thinking, okay, 3 million acres, it's roughly the size of Connecticut. That still didn't really help me visualize it that much. So I kind of thought through it a little bit, and it's just kind of like, if this was Roundup, and this was Billings, and this was like Livingston, it'd be roughly rough estimate of that much area just destroyed by fire. In 2 days. 2 days, a fire could just swallow that up. And that kind of blew my mind. And then to think that fires start about this big, you know. They're just a little baby ember. And it can just swallow it up in 2 days. 85 people lost their lives. That's a lot of people from a fire. But let's go to James chapter 3, our priority there in verse 2. It says, "For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now if we put the bits in the horse's mouth so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so great and driven by strong winds, they are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also, the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire." Let's pray real quick. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight, God, and just pray that we really do approach you with humble hearts and open, transparent hearts, Father. And I pray that in everything that we do, we really focus on just how powerful and how awesome you are, Father. And I pray that we never lose sight of the goal that we have in mind, the hope that is to come, God, that will be really, our faith will become sight. And I just pray we never really lose track, though, of where we are with each other right now and the fact that we can have these relationships, Father. And I thank you so much for them. I pray that I can handle the word accurately tonight. And I pray that we can walk away and really just learn something from what your scriptures have to say. It's in your name, I pray, Jesus, amen. So, you know, fire is very destructive. It's very devastating and it burns. And I even kind of remember one time down in Texas, there was a fire down our street. And something about just knowing there's a fire nearby is scary. And to know that it's not supposed to be there, it's not controlled. And it swept up a whole hayfield. And I remember thinking, I was like, oh, what are we going to do with the animals and stuff? We're going to have to let them run free and let them out of the pens, and what if our house gets burned down, you know? And maybe I was a little bit overthinking that a little bit, but when the reality of a fire comes, it's kind of scary. But it's very interesting that it would equate a tongue with that. Because sometimes our words can be very damaging, and they can, one little thing, the tongue, a little thing, doesn't seem like it can do anything. It can spark up something that can hurt people for the rest of their lives. And, you know, it's something that, I mean, let's take a wedding, for example. I've never been a part of a wedding, but I know I've seen some and I've heard other people's stories, and I know probably when you remember, you look back on the words that were said, and you look back on the I do, or you look back on the I love you, or something of that sort. And I always go back and I always remember the day that I became Christian. And I remember when I said Jesus is Lord. And I remember walking in there, and I remember the conversation I had with my dad, and I vividly remember walking up to the top of the Westin. It's a hotel down there, and we went to the pool up top, and that's basically where it all started. And I just remember vividly the words that I remember saying, that Jesus is Lord. And that's not something that'd be taken lightly. Today, many people, the words are meaningless. You know, Roger actually made reference to John Wayne, and I always remember growing up watching a movie with, I think it's Comancheros, I don't remember what it was. We watched John Wayne a ton, but he said, words are what men live by. And he was trying to talk to this one guy who was like a gambler, and he had kind of shady past, and he's like, oh, they're just words, you know? He's like, well, words are what men live by. You know, and that's how we should view things. I mean, Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Are we viewing words that powerful? We shouldn't have to, well, I triple promise. I cross my heart, hope to die. If you say yes, then I would hope that you mean yes. You know, there shouldn't be that. Start turning your Bibles to Matthew chapter 12. But these are things that are just taught to us in the world, and it's something we gotta unthink. And it's very difficult when you're surrounded by people all the time who are not trying to think according to the Bible. Many times I can see it wear off on my own self. But the tongue really does start with how we think. Because we're gonna find out right here, but if we start thinking the wrong way, sooner or later it's gonna come out in our speech. Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. And I'll just stop right there. The mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. What is really deep down inside? What fills our heart and what fills our mind? Slow to speak. Are we being slow to speak? Are we thinking about what we're saying? So no one just starts talking about something that they haven't really thought about much. I mean, they do, but they haven't thought about it very much, if you know what I mean. Like, let's say somebody who starts telling me a bunch of accurate information, they start telling me a bunch of crazy things about sports. Something tells me inside that maybe they have thought about sports a lot. Or movies, you know. I don't know how many people at my workplace, they just start saying things all the time, they make quotes, and I don't know what they're talking about. And they're like, oh, you haven't seen this movie, that movie, that movie. And it's apparent that they spend a lot of time thinking about movies. Shows, the same thing. Books. There's a lot of different books out there. And music. Music is one of those ones that a lot of people, music is powerful. You want to talk about the power of words? that will stick with you for a long time, the music and the words that are with it. But people tend to talk about things that are important to them. And I also grew up with two sisters in a horse world, and I heard a lot about horses. So they were very thinking a lot about horses and different things like that. But what we're passionate, we end up talking a lot about. Whenever we have interactions with people, does our passion for Christ end up showing in one form or another? Does it show that we don't talk the same as them? Does it show that we start talking about other things that maybe they don't necessarily always talk about? Are we always observing our thoughts? Because sometimes, I mean, I was kind of thinking of it like this. Like, what if I just decided to take all my thoughts and all my words each day and put them out on a piece of paper? And then at the end of the day, I went and sat down and I had somebody read them. And I had them read them out loud and I was listening. Probably there'd be some times I'd say, oh, I wouldn't have thought that. I wouldn't have said that. Or there'd probably be some times that I'd be like, oh, no, okay, skip over that part. You know, that's not, don't keep reading. But the problem is, that's not always how it works. Sometimes we get so caught up in the moment with our thoughts or our words that we're not really stepping back. We're not trying to look at it spiritually. And that can kind of be convicting for me, you know, to think about if somebody was to go through and read everything that I've thought or I said for the day. And there would probably be a lot of times that it'd be okay. But then there'd be times I'm like, okay, I need to take every thought captive there and I need to make it obedient to Christ. Amen. And so there are two big ways I was thinking about that can help our thinking. The first one would be our environment, because it is very easy to be influenced by our environment. And it happens so easily. I can see it all the time in myself and just other people. You know, you start seeing somebody, and not even necessarily in bad ways, they just start doing what other people do. There's one guy at my job, he always says a certain word, he always says all the time, you know. And before I know it, I start saying It's not a bad thing, it's not like he's saying bad words, it's just, I just start saying that. And that's the thing, is like you start developing habits that other people around you have. Or if they start talking about, when I'm never kept up with the Winter Olympics until I went and worked with this other guy. And he like told me everything about it. And by the end of the week, I was talking to other people about the Winter Olympics. And I didn't even care about it in the first place. But the thing is, we start getting influenced by the people that we're around. And they start really changing the way we think. And we got to make sure that we are the ones that are setting that standard, because bad company can definitely corrupt good character. And if we spend 40 hours a week with people in the world, in the workplace, I hope that we don't spend those next 40 hours of off work with the same people. You know, because I want to be built back up, you know. And I actually, in a study, this one guy brought up a good point. He's like, you should be spending around 50%, at least 50% with people who are less spiritual than you and 50% with that are more spiritual than you. So they're building you up and then you're helping those people. Now, is that a foolproof method? I don't know, but if I spent 50% with the less spiritual at work, then I should be spending my next 50% with people who are going to be building me up for Christ. And then another thing is just consciously watching our thoughts. Consciously, because, like I said, sometimes we can just drift off, and I'm not giving us an out. We still need to be taking responsibility for our thoughts. But sometimes we just try to go into this mode of, oh, I don't want to deal with that, so I just will act like I never thought that, even though I did, but I'm just going to keep going down this path, you know. And so we don't actually want to take responsibility, but we do. We need to take responsibility and be conscious about what we're thinking about and make it obedient to Christ. Because there are so many times I've just kind of, it's like, you know, and you see this all the time in the religious world. They they'll necessarily, maybe it's a false doctrine, you know. And you don't necessarily, you know, we're asked, why would you believe in something like that? Why would you believe in something like that? And it's not necessarily that people are deliberately always trying to choose that. They just, they don't want to face the reality of it. And that's exactly where I find myself in my own life too. And that's why I see they're there, but then I look at myself and my own thoughts, and then I'm like, why would I be thinking that? And it's because I just don't want to deal with it. But I know deep down that I need to deal with it. So those are the two things, is hope and our thinking will truly affect our speech. And yeah, 2 Corinthians, take every thought captive. It would be a lot easier if we weren't always surrounded by the wrong messages. We need to be surrounded by people who are going to build us up. And so there's a couple of things that I was thinking about speaking when it comes to our actual, what we say. Speaking in truth and in love. And the first one, in truth. I found out a big reason, and there's probably a bunch of other reasons, but a big reason why I don't always speak the truth is because I'm afraid. I have fear, basically. I'm afraid of being in the light. I'm afraid of being open and transparent. I'm afraid of taking responsibility. And really, I'm not trusting in God fully. Because God, perfect love, casts out all fear. Just like, kind of think about that. And many times when I find myself being deceitful, when I find myself not necessarily laying it all out when I know I should, it's usually because I'm being afraid. I'm running. I'm hiding. So, you know, I need to be open and I need to trust God. Let's turn to John chapter 8. And a lot of times I find it's really hard to be telling the truth in front of certain people too. Because, oh man, I don't want them to think of me like that. I don't want them to know that about me. You know, and that might even be on the responsibility of both parties. If we were all in a loving, peaceful, engaging environment, that would be okay. Be like, okay, it's peaceful, it's loving, I want you to be open and honest with me, and we can go from there. You know, but on both sides, if one person is not letting another person speak in truth, then maybe we should be watching the other side of the story too. Yeah, yeah, exactly. John 8:44. You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. He's talking specifically, you can kind of see, to the upstanding Jewish Pharisaical guys, or however you say that. But I think there's a big key in here. Satan was a murderer, and he does not stand the truth. There is no truth in him. He's the father of lies. When we just tell a little lie, you know, somebody asks you a question, you kind of just don't want to have a real conversation right then, so you kind of just brush it off with a little lie. They're not going to know, and I'm not really, it's not going to affect anything. Are we actually thinking about God? Are we actually being real right there? Are we being in the truth? Or are we trying to buy into the father of lies plan? You know, he wants people to buy into that. This is not going to really hurt anything. You're not even telling it. It's not like a bad lie, like you're not affecting anybody. But we are. We're affecting ourselves, and we're affecting our relationship that could have maybe have flourished from being open with that other person. And you never know what they're going through. Maybe they need some encouragement from that too, to see your openness. And, you know, there are six things the Lord hates out of Proverbs 6, and seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, hands that shed innocent blood, murder, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil. Those all sound pretty bad. And then we got the other two, a lying tongue, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. That's interesting. Up right up there with a murderer. No truth. They lie. It's a lying tongue. And they give false witness. And they break down other people. that really convicted me is thinking about how many times it's easy to fall into just listening to what somebody else has to say about somebody else and maybe believing it without even thinking about the other person, or maybe even thinking more in depth and be like, yeah, that's right, and I also know this too, you know? And that's not out of love. That's breaking down on the people, and we're not controlling our thoughts. We're not thinking about the other people and the benefit of them. We're thinking about ourselves and building up ourselves. But it says the Lord hates. He hates a lying tongue. That's strong language right there. The Lord hates a lying tongue. I don't know any other way he could have put that, you know? When we burn down one another by our lying tongue, that's something that he despises. He will not partake of that. The truthful lips of Jesus endure forever, amen? This will endure forever. This is truth. And when we speak truth to one another, we are building up one another. We're really helping each other out, and we're going to grow closer and closer. And for sake of time, I guess you got to leave early to go to Big Sky. Let's go to Titus chapter 3. And then another part of this is speaking in love. So we got to speak the truth. We can't have that deceit. We can't lie to other people. We can't break down other people. But this one is more of how do we view other people? And speaking in love, I think a bad way to speak in love towards somebody or with somebody is gossip or slander. While you're turning there, I'm going to read out of Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 29. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. And then even it keeps going on. It says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander, all slander, be put away from you, along with malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God the Christ has also forgiven you. So, that he wants us to cast away all slander. Where does slander really come from? It comes from Satan, you know? These are the type of things that he wants us to do. That's what he's planning on doing. He wants us to break down one another so we can't necessarily grow closer to one another. He doesn't want us to love one another. He wants us to hurt each other. And that's, you tear apart a house that is divided will not stand. Titus chapter 3, verse 1. Remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed, to malign no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. For we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our time, our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. You know, let us malign no one. Be peaceful, gentle, ready for every good deed. We should never, ever be breaking down another person. Proverbs 17:4, and y'all can start turning there, but Proverbs 17:4, we're going to see it actually even maybe paints a different picture than we always have thought. Many times I grew up thinking, okay, I'm not gossiping about so-and-so. I'm not saying this about them. I'm not, you know, I'm good. But Proverbs 17:4, we'll see. Says an evildoer in verse 4, an evildoer listens to wicked lips, a liar pays attention to a destructive tongue. An evildoer listens to wicked lips. I'll firsthand tell you, I've been very guilty of that many times at work. Why am I listening to them? Why? These people, you can obviously tell they're not talking about anything good. They are completely just talking about inappropriate, breaking down other people, very unwholesome talk. Why am I listening to these things? Or how about gossip? Is that in accordance with what we were just reading, slander no one? Why would we want to listen to a gossip? And this is very hard because I think many times when you're not thinking, you start to think about yourself and how they view you, so you start to play into their little scheme. And really, we're not thinking about what God thinks about that. We're not thinking about, and I'm definitely guilty of this, am I thinking about what God thinks about that? Am I thinking about what that other person would think about that if they went and read the conversation we had, if they overheard what we were talking about them? And this is something that is like, if we're to build unity, we can't be breaking down other people. We have to build other people up. And this is something that is, it takes some training, I think. Definitely takes some, you have to want to fight and to win this battle, because it is very easy to start getting caught up in that. So we're trying to save souls. Our tongues can save or they can destroy. And start turning your Bibles to Romans 10, please. And I'll kind of end with a little example. I was thinking of the fire. And, you know, up in my parents' place, up towards that area, there was a fire that went through up by Roundup, actually twice, from my knowledge. And you can just see, there's not a lot of trees where the fire came through. And I know there was more trees at one time, because you can see all the stumps and you can see a bunch of different things. And it was a bunch of years ago, but you can see where the fire came through. And it was kind of interesting, because I was like, usually fire causes more growth and it brings back healthier stuff. But for some reason, it didn't grow back over there. So it's still desolate. And I was thinking about, if somebody's talking to us or about us in a certain way, how are we going to handle that? Because if somebody burns us down, they burn us up, are we the kind of people who are going to grow back and learn from that and be better and forgive and to treat? Maybe they need encouragement and they are not giving you encouragement, but maybe that's because they need it. Are we going to be that forest that grows back after the fire? Or are we going to be a forest that just stays barren? You had something going great for a while. You had a forest going, somebody burned it down with their words, and you're not growing back. You know? So that, I was just thinking about that. I was like, you don't always come back, you know. We have to make sure we are right on our side and being able to receive what people have to say and to be forgiving and loving. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. You talk about how powerful the word of mouth is. How are people to believe and call on the name of the Lord without even having somebody to preach the word of God to them? Faith comes by hearing the word of Christ, right? And I'm going to turn to 1 Peter real quick. First Peter 2. This will be my last verse. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. I kind of want to just leave with that verse. But I started thinking this week about what people were saying and about how they went about what they were saying. And I started thinking about, how am I setting a good example for them in what I say and how I listen to what they have to say? Am I being a good example? And then I started thinking about the body of Christ and how easy it is to start looking at people with that critical eye and just start pointing out weaknesses all the time, again and again and again. And sometimes conversations just seem easier that way. It's almost easier to have conversation about pointing out weaknesses than it is about strengths. And I don't know why it makes, but it just happens. So let us put aside all malice, deceit, and hypocrisy, and envy, and all slander. And let's crave the pure milk of the word. Thank you.